Good hand today. It's good to be in His presence this afternoon, isn't it? Amen. Gentle presence of the Lord that's with us. I just wanted to share a few things in closing with you. There's a few things that we were hoping would happen today, and I kind of narrowed them down to three that I would love to hear reports that this happened in your life today. First of all, is inspiration. That gathering together with almost 600 other people from our district was inspiring to you. The worship was inspiring. The workshops were inspiring. To enable you to see a bigger picture than just your local church, to know that you're a part of a network, of a movement, I think is inspiring. To know that it's not just us, but we really are better together. And whether you're from Brookfield in the far northwest corner or Bernie in the far southeast corner, we're all part of the same team, and we all wear the same jersey, and we serve the same Jesus, and we're all in this together. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that's inspiring and encouraging to me. And it's always good to get together with people that I don't know and make new friends or see people that I haven't seen for a while. And I think that's happened today. And so I think it's been an inspiring day. Do you think it's been a bit of an inspiring day? I think it has. And hopefully you'll go home with that encouragement. Secondly, I hope it's been a day of information. Just finding out some new things, hearing some new things. The workshops, the booths, the Q&A times in your workshops, conversation around the table or in the hallways, just gaining more information. I think it's safe to say, if you went to any of the workshops and if you visited any of the booths, you have more information now than you had at 9:30 this morning. Would that be safe to say? So I think we've had a good day of information, don't you? I think it's been a good day of gaining some new insights and some new resources and some new ways of doing things, some things to think about. And so I think in our little think tank up here, we've got some new ideas. And that's always good. So on these first two counts, I think we're successful. I think we've hit those targets. The third one is implementation. And really, in my opinion, this is one of the main keys to the success of this day. It's not just getting together, that's fun. It's not just seeing old friends, that's fun. It's not just gaining new information or insights, that's great. But what do we do with that? What are we going to do with that in the next 24 hours or the next 24 days or the next 6 months? And so implementation is, in my opinion, a key to the long-term success of this day. That will take it beyond just, that was cool, to that made a difference. That was fun. To we use this to do that, and it made that kind of a difference. And so my prayer is that as we get in our cars and our vans here in just a few minutes, that we'll take the information and the inspiration, and we'll begin to share it with others, and we'll begin to talk about it. And hopefully on your way home, if you carpooled together, you'll talk about maybe a workshop you went to that someone else couldn't go to, and you'll share this the experiences, and you'll process it, and you'll research it. And I know some of the workshops probably stirred up a little bit of curiosity in you, and maybe even a little controversy in your mind, and that's okay. This is not a mutual admiration society, right? It's a place where we learn and we're challenged and we're stretched to be better. And so take what you've learned today and use it. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. What that says to me is we have to take it beyond just hearing words of instruction and words of knowledge. And we have to apply it. It's not enough to hear it. We need to apply it. That word apply means to bring or put into operation or practical use. To give one's full attention to a task. To work hard. So if you put that in that verse, it would mean something or say something like this. Put into operation the things you've learned, the things you've heard. Some synonyms of the word apply are exercise, implement, practice, engage, bring into play, bring to bear. So put any of those definitions in that verse of Scripture and it gives some more substance to it, doesn't it? Practice the things you've learned. Implement the things you've learned. Practice them. Engage in them. Bring them into play. Bring them to bear. Now an antonym, a couple of antonyms of the word apply, means to neglect, to ignore. And one I made up myself, just call me Webster, is passively disregard. So what that means is you get this word of knowledge or this bit of information or this tidbit of fact or whatever it is that you've gained today, and as you leave the building, you just sort of put it on the shelf of your mind and you disregard it or you neglect to take it any further or you just kind of ignore it and it really doesn't have any use beyond here. Let's not let that happen. But let's let this session today be the genesis, the beginning of a long-term life of fruitfulness that is born out of the seeds that have been planted here today. One of the things we wanted to do today was give you tools, to give you resources, to assist you in your mission. And that was what this whole day was about. It's about helping you be effective as a local church. I spend a fair amount of time in stores like Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's. We have a neighborhood hardware store called Brannicky's, because I'm really good at tearing things up. And when I try to fix something, I end up breaking something. And I need parts, and I need tools, and I need help. And so I go to these stores, and they are loaded with tools. I mean, they have other things too, but these are tool stores. And I mean, if you need a tool, you go to those stores, and you can find it. There's all kinds of tools, all sizes, all shapes, all whatever. Those stores are designed to help you get a job done. Am I right? They're not just showcasing their tools. They are there for you to buy, to take home, to fix that thing that you broke. They are created and designed to resource you with tools and equipment to get the job done. That's what V17 was designed to do. When we started designing this particular conference 9 months ago, it was all about resourcing. It was all about giving you tools. It was all about assisting you, coming alongside you to help you in your church, regardless of what size and regardless of what demographic you're in. We want to partner with you, and that's what this whole day was about. Every tool has a purpose. Now, I have tried to use tools for a purpose they weren't designed for. And my dad used to get so aggravated at me when I would use his socket wrench as a hammer. Anybody else ever do that? It doesn't work so good, and it makes your dad mad when that happens. But if you have a hammer, it's easier to nail a nail than a socket wrench. But if you need to take a bolt off of something, use that socket wrench. Every tool has a purpose, and tools are great unless you don't use them. Tools have a purpose, and they're wonderful, but they're useless if you don't use them. Everybody with me? So I have three questions for you as we draw this to a close today. Three questions. Let me remind you of our scripture in this little session here. Proverbs 23:12. Apply, practice, put into use your heart to instruction, the things you've learned, and your ears to words of knowledge. So here's my three questions. They're very simple, and only you have these answers. I don't have these answers. What tools or resources did you receive today? What caught your attention? What in the notepad, in their book, or the other notepad did you write down? What was there about something that one of the presenters said that spurred a thought in your mind, an aha moment or a hmm moment or something else that caused you to pause just a moment. What tool, what resource did you get today? Secondly, what could these be used for? These tools that you have in your toolbox, what could they be used for in your context? You're going home to your church. You're going home to your community, and it's unique to you. So what tool did you get today that you could apply there? What is there that you learned today that could be applicable to your situation? What idea could you pursue? What thought could you continue to develop? What possibility did you see? What idea floated through your mind when you were listening to one of the presenters? You go, I wonder if that'd work where I'm at, or what if? What resource did you get today? What tool, and how could it be used? And here's a third question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to apply what you've learned today? It's going to be up to you. It's going to be your decision. But what is your plan moving forward? Who are you going to talk to about it? What are you going to pray about? What are you going to put on your prayer list? How are you going to process this? These things that you've learned today that you've been challenged with, what are you going to do about them? Now, there's a couple things you can do. One is you can stuff them in a wastebasket. You can put that thing, like I've done too many times at conferences, put that notebook on the shelf. You can put it in a closet, or you can keep it and pray over it and let it work in your heart, and you begin to work it in your life. So you can ignore it, you can neglect it, you can passively disregard it, or you can exercise it, implement it, practice it, engage it, bring it into play, and bring it to bear. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? A few years ago, I went to the John Deere factory in Moline, Illinois. And we should have a picture. It's a little fuzzy, but these are John Deere combines. How do you know those are John Deere's? They're green. Now this factory, we didn't take a tour of the factory. We just went through the showroom, but it is rather impressive. And I'm a city boy, but I love tractors. You get to climb up in these things in the showroom and act like you're a farmer, you know, and all that. They're huge, they're massive, and they're very expensive. And so they roll off of the assembly line looking like this. This one over here is in the showroom. You can't really see the upper right picture. I don't know, somebody is probably a farmer here. How many row picker is that? It's 18 maybe? Huh? 24? That thing will combine 24 rows at a time. Now, it's amazing. And there's a lady standing in front of it posing for somebody. I don't know, you can't really see it. And this is a combine probably with somebody that designed or made it or whatever. But those combines, they're John Deere, they're brand new, they're shiny, they're awesome. And they also were created with a purpose in mind, right? What was that purpose? To bring in the harvest, all right? These machines were created to bring in a harvest. Now, what are they not doing here? They're not, Mark, how'd you say that? They're not harvesting. They're not harvesting. They're looking good. They're shiny. They're bright. They're clean. But there's not one grain of wheat, there's not one stalk of corn to be seen in these pictures. So really, they're beautiful, but they're not living up to what they were created for, right? Okay, let's go to the next picture. Ah, now we're getting serious, right? Now we got a couple combines in the field, and one's going along, a tractor, with more John Deere equipment. That's a tractor with a wagon there, and they don't even have to stop. They can put the corn right in there while they're moving. That is a combine in action. That is a combine doing what it was created to do. It's dirty. It's dusty. It's not bright and shiny like it was in the factory. There's nobody posing in front of it, because they're inside of it, driving it, using it, working it. Now, I had a couple other pictures that I didn't put up here. One was of a combine on fire. And sometimes when we're doing our thing, it doesn't turn out quite right. You know, sometimes our ideas burn up or ideas don't work. But this is what this combine was created for, was to bring in a harvest. Jesus told the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That's what this is all about. It's not about sitting in a showroom with a nice, shiny new idea, admiring how impressive that idea is. It's about getting into the field and allowing God, the Lord of the harvest, to use us to help make a difference in the field. So we can see men and women, boys, girls, teenagers, know about Jesus and learn how to live for Him. So as you go today, you really have a choice to make. Are you going to be a showroom combine, or are you going to be in the field doing the work? So my prayer as we go forward is, God, get us out of the showroom. God, we don't have to look all nice and shiny. We don't have to have that new combine smell. We need to be out there in the mud and the dirt and the dust bringing in a harvest. Because the fields are white. The fields are white. And God uses people just like us to bring in a harvest. So may God take whatever it is you learned today, whatever tool it is that you received today, may He take it and may He ordain it and bless it and use it so that somebody somewhere can come into touch with Jesus. That's my goal, my hope, my dream for you. Implementation. Take it home and make a difference. We want to move now for just a few minutes into gathering around the Lord's table. And it's hard to do that without really understanding that Jesus was all about people. Right? He was all about people. He was always about touching the lives of people. And so I'd like for those who are going to assist us to come and take their places. And this is going to be a very simple experience. There's not going to be a lot of talking or whatever. But I think it's good for us as the family to gather together around the table. And the one thing that Jesus said when He was serving His disciples at what we know as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, was this little instruction. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So we don't do this as simply a ritual that we do. This is a time we remember Jesus. He came for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose from the dead for us, and He's interceding for us, and someday He'll come for us. So as we close this day, I just want us to pull it all together and realize it's all about Jesus. It's not about making your church bigger. It's about Jesus. It's not about raising more money. It's about Jesus. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. I want to read the words of a hymn that we sang this morning, and then a couple of verses of Scripture. Then we're going to invite you to come and partake of the Lord's Supper. Think of these words. Just maybe you want to close your eyes, or however you can meditate on Christ. But I want to remind you of some things through this hymn. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. And so we gather in remembrance of the great sacrifice of Jesus, who died so we could live. We are all blessed. There's four stations in the front. There'll be two in the back. And I'd like for you to stand with me if you would. In just a moment, I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture, and then we're going to ask those of you in front of the aisle, in the back, there's an aisle running widthwise. Those of you, if you would exit your section to the right and come around and then go back to the left, and then the same with those behind the aisle, if you would go to the back two stations. We're not in a hurry. We want this to be meaningful. I want you to remember Him. After taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." If you would come now and take the bread and the cup. Let's pray together. Father, it's been a good day, and we thank You for blessing us today with Your presence. I just ask that in everything we do, everywhere we go, everything we say, that we would always reflect You and honor You. As we get in our vehicles here in just a couple of moments and head toward home, I just pray that You would keep us safe on the road, and may our cars and vans be filled with Your presence. And may this day make a difference in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please, for our closing song of benediction?